are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here on AM 1510. Our dial is WWBC. We're also heard on FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and all over the world on the World Wide Web, Miss Ellen.
We are. You can listen to us on demand if you just click on 1510wwbc.com. And it will just do a little download, and you'll be able to hear us live each and every Monday here on Eastern Time, 1 o'clock. Right here on this station, and also the other FM stations. Also, all of our archive shows, so the last 10 years, have been on our website, SitaMediaInc.com.
That's right. You say it very well from memory. Thank you.
Almost, yeah. Almost. I need a little water.
Yeah, I know. Sometimes you get on a roll, and it's like, oh. Yeah. You have to take a breath, right? You told me that last time. So we meet here every Monday, you and Samantha and I, and it's become part of our life, actually. That Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, we just sit here and chat about things that are going on around the nation, around the world, actually, and right here in Brevard County, Florida. And we've had a lot of stuff going on in Brevard County, Florida.
Yes.
I don't know if you all heard about it, but there was a woman who was, sadly, she was killed by her boyfriend. Her name is Red, and they had a candlelight vigil, I think, a couple days ago. Yeah, and that piercing tattoo artist was right across the street. Right across the mall from my daughter's shop. So they knew Red very well. She was a wonderful person. And so my condolences to the family. And again, domestic violence, if you know someone or if someone in your family is being bullied or someone is threatening them, do the right thing and get some help.
Say something.
Say something, right? Yeah. If you see something, say something. So that was something that I just wanted to say that it's when you know the person. My son-in-law took it pretty hard because he knows this woman personally. And so our family, of course, we felt really bad about that.
Yeah.
The other thing is, I don't know if you guys know about this, but the traffic situation in Brevard is getting horrendous.
Oh, my God.
Anybody been on Wickham Road between 4 and 6?
Everybody's moving here. I'm telling you, that I've heard it from every real estate agent in town that they are just, they can't even keep up with the amount of lookers that are trying to move to Brevard County. So that does every great thing for small businesses,
right?
You know, for the economy, but it doesn't do much for traffic on an infrastructure that was already a little hurting,
right?
You know, so especially in Palm Bay, which we won't even go into.
Right. And I was thinking that it was just me, but I'm like, really and truly, I started out at the Melbourne Square Mall the other day. I just dropped in to just buy one item and just go home, which is a dress. And then I'm on the road, and I'm like, I've been on the road for almost 40 minutes, and I'm not home from 192 to Lake Washington Road.
Yeah.
Well, this happened at 5:30, so.
Got to learn the shortcuts, Zito. Hibiscus is your best bet.
I know, I sure. But anyways, so we have a really good show today. Our friend Dr. Allison Wade is here.
Hello.
With Brevard Orthopedic Specialist, and she's one of the people's numbers that the newcomers should keep on their refrigerator or their phone.
Absolutely.
Just
especially
case
if you're a golfer, if you're a runner, if you're out being active, which hopefully all of you are out there doing something to better your health, and even if you're walking. You know, you definitely need to get checked out.
Yeah, and don't try to self-diagnose. She's going to talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah.
So we have Dr. Wade in studio. She's going to be chatting with us here in a little bit. And then our second segment, we have a lady. Her name is Kenesha Smith. I love her name. And she's going to be calling in. She's a social worker and a community organizer. And she will be calling in for a group called Peace Builders. And they have summer camps where they teach people about making peace all over the world.
Amazing.
And using it through social skills. So we'll talk to her in the second segment. But right now, let's welcome our friend, Dr. Allison Wade, with the Multi-Specialty High-Performance Medical Group that puts patients first, Brevard Orthopedic Specialist.
Hello,
thank you. You get closer to your mic before Paul give you the Heads up.
I can't see him, but he'll raise his hand. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. So, Ellen, of course, we all met through ABWA. Yes. You and I.
Yeah.
Thank you,
ABWA. 11, 12 years
is
ago.
Is that right?
And that's why I met. Yeah. Wow. Ellen and I hit it off 12 years ago at ABWA. And I met Dr. Wade there. And I really, really admire her, not just for joining ABWA, but for showing up at our meetings and telling us about her practice and inviting everybody to tour it if they want to, learn more about it, and get involved in your own health. So, Doctor, give us an update since the last time you were here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Well, we've definitely met a lot of nice people. We've tried to get out in the community, and I appreciate everyone's support from referral partners to therapists to you guys at ABWA, and it's been exciting. We've been growing, and I've had to get some help because of that. So, but yes, started almost 9 months ago. We started solo practice, so
yeah,
we're in 9 months. Shout out to Randy, Megan, and Heather for helping get this thing off the ground.
Right, and your practice is what a word that a lot of us use all the time, trust. Your practice is a trustworthy practice.
Yes.
And I mean, people trust folks to buy a home from, like Ellen said, from state to state. They'll trust the bankers. They'll trust their child care providers. They'll trust their attorneys. And you have to trust your doctor as well, right?
They do, but the doctor has to earn trust. So they have to be able to spend time with the patient and listen to them and sit back and learn the whole story of why they're there and what's hurting them and try to direct them to be able to come up with a diagnosis or a workup. So we'll see 5-6 years old and up for foot and ankle, and adult all everything else. So we work up hips, knees, foot, ankle, and see what's going on, and help to get into a path of healing and treatment, whether that's therapy, injections, restorative, regenerative medicine, many different options depending on the diagnosis.
Driving up pediatric is amazing in itself. I couldn't find an orthopedic pediatrician when my son was younger and needed one.
Right.
So that's a great addition to your practice.
Brevard County doesn't have a specific pediatric that does pediatric orthopedics. So a lot of pediatric things do, unfortunately, leave Brevard to find that specialist. But for foot and ankle, I'll see. Most pediatric foot and ankle doesn't require surgery. A lot of times it's something that will, they're just going through, and some inflammation, such as heel pain. They'll get it as young as 9 years old. They'll get some heel pain.
Right.
And we work it up the best we can and always do non-operative treatment until it absolutely is necessary to have surgery.
So someone just sent me a text. Tell us some of the common problems that you see with foot and ankle.
Oh, boy. I see anything from acute Achilles tendon ruptures in pickleball and tennis to tendonitis, plantar fasciitis, ankle arthritis, bunions, hammer toes, traumatic hammer toes, and ankle all the arthritis in the big toe, tendonitis in the inside of the foot called posterior tibial tendonitis, or fallen arches, or why is my foot turning out? Why am I walking this way? So I've seen everything from we've picked up scoliosis to we've picked up some tumors. So we've picked up a few things that we weren't expecting in the whole workup, because I don't just look at the feet. I also make them walk.
Yeah, you do
a
coordination of care. I like that your practice does that. You coordinate the care with the attendant physicians.
Mm-hmm.
So Ellen, you were right. For all the people who are moving down here and want to play tennis and run and jump and do everything else, they need her number.
Well, and the whole thing is that, you know, you've always talked about this with Dr. Begee as well, that, you know, it's all preventative, right? So if you're an athlete, I mean, you should have an orthopedic specialist that you like to go to make sure, well, just to make sure that everything is in good shape, because just like Dr. Wade said, it's, you know, if your feet are off balance, your hips are going to get off balance, your whole body's going to be out of whack, and you're going to wind up going to another type of professional that's not going to fix the root problem.
Correct.
Your stabilization, your foundation.
That's right. So, Doc, why do you think so many people wait? I mean, I've had people with their feet swollen like a frog, and they'll be like, I'm not going to go as yet. Well, I think they should have an x-ray. They should have it checked.
Have it checked, at least have it examined to see. I've had patients come in walking on broken metatarsals. I've had patients come in walking with a broken fibula, and they just thought they sprained their foot or sprained their ankle. So some people have a high pain tolerance, or they have neuropathy and don't feel it. and they just see swelling, and sometimes that's the only symptom they see. They don't have pain, they don't remember doing anything, and they just see a swollen foot or ankle, then that should be checked out to make sure there's not a stress fracture or a twist to the ankle that turned into a fibula fracture. And I'm the solo attending, so I'm the only doc there.
So you're the one that's examining.
I'm the one that will be seeing the folks and determining what they need. And we do have x-ray capability of foot and ankle in the office. Any other parts, we coordinate at their convenience to get the imaging done at a place of their choosing.
What about what about the x-rays and MRIs and stuff? You're doing x-rays on site?
We can do weight-bearing foot and ankle x-rays and non-weight-bearing foot and ankle x-rays on site, yes.
Right. And, you know, Ellen, this is a good time for her to give us her phone number, address, and website.
All right. Well, you can come see us at Brevard Orthopedic Specialists. We're at 930 South Harbor City Boulevard, Suite 100. Very easy access. Lots of parking there. You can pull up right to the automatic door, and we can help get you into the suite, which is the first door on the left as soon as you get into the building. Our phone number is 321-345-7579.
It's an easy
and
number.
That's where you'd call to make a consultation, for an appointment.
Dr. Wade, of course, the question on everybody's mind is always going to be affordability. So cost, insurance, and self-pays.
Correct. We do take most insurances, and we encourage patients. A lot of times the website of insurance companies is not updated. And with COVID, a lot of docs kind of shifted around. So we went to different areas. We started our own practice. So it's best to verify with the insurance company, but also you can call and we can try to verify as well whether we know who we're in network with. And if we're not in network, we do offer reasonable self-pay options.
So since you've moved to Brevard, you're doing a lot of stuff. You guys are now sponsoring in the Space Ghost Runners. What is it? Is it like a year-round thing that they're doing?
They go from like mid-year to mid-year. So they just finished their 2020 and half to 2021. So we're going to do mid-2021 to mid-2022. So we are team sponsors for any race that they go to. We are sponsors for their team to go to the races. And then they put on their own series of races called the Roy Series. And we're also sponsors, one of the sponsors to help with that. And for the runners, particularly, I treat a lot of runners, anywhere from runners to professional ballet dancers to pickleballers. They don't want a lot of downtime. A lot of them don't want to do surgery, even if it's something that, you know, you look at an x-ray and you go, ooh, it might need something.
They need a little something.
Yeah, why do you think people are so scared? I mean, I understand, you know, the fear of having surgery because then you can't walk, especially if you have a home with stairs and things.
Correct.
But, I mean, how can we tell more people that if the surgery is needed, in the long run, you're doing yourself a favor now than waiting for it to do it later on?
A perfect example is arthritis of the big toe. So there was recent evidence that they did a study. If you fuse that big toe, what can they get back to and what do they have trouble getting back to? So their gait stance, if you try to go heel to toe and you have a lot of pain in your big toe, you're going to shorten your stance. You're not going to put as much pressure on it. So your push-off power is decreased. So for tennis players, they don't have as much push-off power, but they're afraid. Everyone focuses on, I can't move the toe anymore if I need a fusion. But what they need to realize is their push-off power can get actually better or improve because they don't hurt. So now they're going to push off on that foot more than they pushed off before when it hurt. So I think they're afraid of being told that's their only option. And so one of the things, it's hard to go through surgery. So one of the things that we're going to start offering coming up as recently as just after June 1st, we're going to start offering what's called PRP or platelet-rich plasma. Mm-hmm. And what that is we take your own blood and we spin it down and get the growth factors out of it and inject it back into an area like plantar fasciitis, Achilles tendonitis, or for your knee arthritis. Those are the top three that we're going to be focusing on because I'm only going to use it on a patient who is a candidate for it. If they have extreme bone-on-bone arthritis, then that won't work for them. And I'm not going to talk them into something that I don't think is going to work.
So it's called PRP.
PRP, platelet-rich plasma.
It's your own plasma.
Correct.
So how's that done? So is it done in the office?
It's done in the office, really? Just as if you were giving blood. You give a certain amount of blood, and then it goes into a weighted centrifuge, and it's spun down to separate the components.
And you do all that in the office?
In the office.
Wow. That is. So there's, is this something new, or has it been
done? It's been around many years, but it's gotten a lot of, it's gotten a lot of studies over the last 5 years. It's gotten a lot of interest because it started in sports world. They wanted to help the athletes to be able to recover from mostly tendon tears, and that helped recover it.
So the body's healing itself.
The body is healing itself.
Wow.
So with plantar fasciitis, a lot of the times it's a micro tear that is causing the pain. Same thing with Achilles tendonitis. Their fibers are micro tearing, and the body's just having a hard time getting kick-started to heal that.
Wow.
So it leads into a chronic issue. So.
And what age can you do the PRP? Do you have to be a certain age?
You have to have some certain criteria. We have to make sure that you don't have a platelet disorder or things like that, or you're not anemic, because I can only provide so many cookies and orange juice. In the office.
Although
I could put up a bakery there.
Hey, they're a little side, smoothie shop.
Right. We better tell our listeners who we're speaking to. We're speaking with Dr. Allison Wade, with Bravat Orthopedic Specialist, and she's here in studio talking to us about her specialty, which is from the knee down. Anything from the knee down, right?
I mean, I can see, I treat all things. So for 5-6 years old and up, foot and ankle, for adults, I can triage. Basically, I'm triaging or diagnosing anything that they have. So if they've never been diagnosed and they have, say, shoulder pain, okay, I can take them. I've treated lots of rotator cuff strains just with therapy or things like that. If they call and say, oh, I've been told by a lot of doctors I need rotator cuff surgery and I want you to do the surgery, then I just collaborate with another physician that does that surgery.
So, Doc, what is this thing about the high heel shoes now? Because a lot of people are talking about, oh, I used to wear high heel shoes when I was younger, but I can't wear it anymore because my foot, my foot. What should we tell people who are saying that to us? They hurt themselves, obviously.
Right.
For fashion.
Right.
But I mean, we can't.
But
the problem is, for a person like myself who used to wear high heels all the time, now I'm down to these in between, like
wedges.
Yes, wedges.
But it's not as cute. So what do you tell people?
I know. I tell them to come see me so I can x-ray their foot and see how bad their forefoot is. It depends where they hurt. Most of the time it's their knuckles and their foot. Their ball of their foot hurts because the heel is too high. We actually did a round of x-rays of Heather and Megan in different shoes and different heels, how high the heel was. So I'll be posting that later.
Yeah.
You can see.
Really?
You can see how, you can see how much pressure that the forefoot, and the forefoot's defined as your ball of your foot out to
your
toes.
You're going to start getting hate mail from Jimmy Choo.
Some people, they have no problem with it at all.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's, I don't know why some have, I mean, a lot of bunions, hammer toes, a lot of it's genetic. So it gets exacerbated by the bad pointy shoes, but it, or some folks have hypermobility and they get bunions early. I've seen bunions in teenagers. So that's a juvenile bunion, and that's genetic. So.
Well, in a way, it's good that whoever came up with these shoes for the brides, where the bride can wear a nice, comfy, flat shoe and not wear heels, that person needs a big kiss. Because my daughter, for her wedding, she was going to wear one of those, and we compromised and got a really flat shoe at Macy's that was pretty. A little tiny heel.
Well, I went to the chunk heel, you know, because they like the big, thick heel that's on it, because I'm like 6 foot tall anyway with heels on, so I don't need to be any taller.
So that's the thing. A friend of mine was arguing yesterday that your weight have a lot to do with your high heel shoes. That if you're very heavy, you should not be wearing high heel shoes. But then another person said, well, I'm heavy and I wear high heel shoes just fine.
Right.
So, I mean, what is it really? I mean, I guess we should all talk about preventative care and how to lose weight before you wear fancy shoes.
Well,
but that's another show, right?
And what's funny with the fact of weight, my client couldn't have no balance in sneakers, but she puts on a chunky heel like Ellen and she's walking straight. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. So what is
you have to have a lot of ankle stability, actually, to be able to do the stilettos. Because if you think when we go up on our tiptoes, our heels naturally do what's called invert or go in. So your ankle feels very unstable. I'm doing hand motions like people can see.
wait, let me get the
I'm Italian, so I have to talk with my hands.
Yeah.
You have to have good ankle stability to be able to be in that position. And it just depends on how the shoe is made. Some people, they're born with their second toe being longer. then the big toe, and that puts that can put a lot of pressure on the second knuckle of the foot.
So you're actually putting yourself in a lot of pain for nothing. You're going to be paying the price
later
on.
Pain for fashion. I've done it.
So, Doc, so tell our listeners on Viewpoint with Seed and Friends a little bit about your background and your education, because you came up here from down south.
I was born in New York.
Yeah?
But, yeah.
Southern New York.
But
Southern
New
York.
But she was in
Vero,
right?
Yes.
She was born in New York.
I was born in New York and raised in Tennessee, and then I did my medical school at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville. And then I did my, that was my undergraduate in Knoxville, and then medical school was in Memphis. And then, so 4 years undergraduate in Knoxville, 4 years medical school in Memphis, 5 years of orthopedic surgery training at the University of Missouri in Columbia, Missouri, and a year and a half of foot and ankle training at Penn State in Hershey, Pennsylvania. And then I came down here, worked at Vero for 6 years, and then decided to move to this county. And, help all you guys out with foot and ankle.
But Ellen, she's pretty brave to open up a solo practice here. You're the only female, I guess, to do it.
Yeah.
And you also open late hours as well here and there. Not all the time, but you will.
We'll
make
try
it
to
special.
Accommodate.
You'll
yeah,
try.
Some of the teachers are having a hard time, so we try to accommodate a little bit later, or folks who have shift work to accommodate a little bit later. So, yeah, and in a pandemic.
Yeah, exactly.
You're amazing, Dr.
In the middle of a pandemic.
Dr. Ray, can we bust some, let's bust some common myths about needing an orthopedic surgeon only if something is broken?
No. let's bust that myth now. So I hear a lot of different chatter in the community that that might be also, Sita, going back to why people don't go get checked out is because they say, well, I know I'm not broken, so I'm not going to see an orthopedic surgeon. So I don't know. I can't speak to other orthopedic surgeons, but this orthopedic surgeon will see folks for soft tissue injuries as well. So it's not just that, oh, I'm only going to see you if you're broken or something of that nature. If you have a sprain or a foot sprain or ankle sprain or a broken toe or something like that, or you know, your toe's swollen, you stubbed it, then I still see that. So no, I treat a lot of ligament injuries, tendon injuries, tendonitis, plantar fasciitis. And even some knee sprains and things like that. So we try to see the soft tissue component as well, and especially for foot and ankle. A lot of foot and ankle fractures have a soft tissue component that patients will come in and, you know, they didn't put anything on it. They're not wrapped. They're not trying to help the swelling or the soft tissue part of it. They say, well, I don't have pain in the broken part. But if you let it go unchecked, you're going to stay swollen for a while. So,
do you sell? But do you offer the accessories to go with wearing, like the boot and because you know that black boot? I'd like to see it in different colors.
Yeah,
bedazzle.
You have to bedazzle your boot. I've had it, but patients have come in with it bedazzled with the stickers. I've had patients have put the bike bell on their knee walker and have tassels hanging off of the boot. Yeah. Oh, well, you can wash that part. Yeah.
No, but I mean,
we have the ability to dispense crutches, boots, braces, knee braces,
and you have all
heel
that
cups.
And at the
we
location.
Have the convenience at my location to do that, so you don't have to go somewhere else to get fitted for that. And we have folks that can fit it in the clinic and make sure it's on right, that you know how to use it, versus trying to get it online. You have no idea what you're getting. You're not sure if you're putting it on right, and then good luck sending it back. So.
Yeah. And here's
the athletes in general have an issue with, like, they accept pain.
Yes.
Right? They just know in general that there's going to be pain with things that they do. But I'm here to tell you, like, if you're over 35 or 40, somewhere in that range, if you're still experiencing that kind of pain, it just lasts a little bit longer. Like, every year, the pain that you have experienced before lasts a little bit longer. So get it checked early.
Right.
Get the boot. Get the, you know, the little bit of
get
whatever that it could
get
be. The checkup.
Well, it's more a lot of it's education. So I think again, going back to why are they afraid, I think they're afraid that some don't want to know exactly what's going on because they're thinking the worst. And so I try to educate them on exactly what's going on. So I have a lot of patients that they'll tell me, well, you're the first person to actually show me what my x-ray looks like or show me what my MRI looks like.
And talk to them and explain it to them.
And talk to them.
But, Doc, are you finding that pain tolerance is cultural as well? Because it seems to me like a lot of people's tolerance for pain is different from others based on their genetics, maybe where they were born, the type of person they are.
Well, there's some genetic disorders that, like, you will you will metabolize or process pain medicine a lot faster, and so you actually have the medicine doesn't work as well.
Yeah.
On you. So I haven't seen that here. I mean, it's what I tell patients when they ask me about pain after surgery. I basically tell them I can do the exact same procedure on you as I do to the person next door, and one of you will barely take a pain pill, and the other one, it's like I kicked him in the gut over, you know. So I can't predict who's gonna be having more pain. Yeah. I just give the same regimen to everybody that can tolerate it, and most do fine within the immediate post-op period because I keep them off of it. And sometimes folks feel like that's a little, I'm just getting my bunion or hammer toe done. But if you don't keep them off of it, then the swelling is too much for the foot. So a lot of it is not just, it could tolerate some weight bearing, but we're protecting the incision, we're protecting the swelling so that the patient doesn't have to deal with that on the back end, because the foot and ankle will take its time to heal and swell, whether you do it right on the front end or it waits, and it'll just be chronically swollen on the back end. So it will get its time no matter
what.
And
most important, keep your follow-up appointment. Because so
yes,
many
please.
People come in.
Yes,
so many people come in for the initial consultation, and they get the education, and they get the brace, and we check in their range of motion and everything, showing them exercise. And then they don't show up for the follow-up.
Yeah.
It's like they healed themselves, or they went to Google.
Yes.
Everybody wants to be a woman.
So Google MD is very difficult, but what I finally have done in my practice, now I've been practicing over 10 years, so what I've finally done is I write the Google term down for them. I write it on the piece of paper. I said, for your Google searches, this is the term you're going to use. And then they immediately go.
Every time I've done that, it winds up with Crohn's disease. Even if it's a foot problem, it always goes
back
to
Crohn's.
You know,
where is a place that I see so many feet, different kind of feet, and I always say, why isn't there an orthopedic surgeon with me at this point in my life at the Hindu temple?
Uh-huh.
Because we remove our shoes to go into the temple.
Yes.
And I don't know why. I was there recently, and I saw all these feet. Feet are different colors, different size, different shape, pretty feet, ugly feet, nails that need to be cut, toenails that have bunions. And I'm thinking, why am I thinking about Dr. Wayne?
You should be thinking of me every foot you see.
Like,
you should be thinking.
I'm like,
with you next time.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, this is a place for an orthopedic. This is like a field of dreams for an orthopedic surgeon. All these feet that needs attention.
Right.
And just say, here's a card. I'll see you Monday.
There's your next networking event.
That's my next.
I'm telling
myth
you, because
to
we,
bust,
I mean,
actually.
And now I notice, like at one of the temples, they've separated the shoes, men, women, children, whatever. And I'm like, okay, great. Now I know, but I'm always afraid somebody will take my shoes. But I see a lot, and I'm like, I know a lot of those people do need to have an examination.
And I do treat and operate, if needed, on bunions and hammer toes. So that's the other myth to bust, is that orthopedic surgeons do treat bunions and hammer toes, but I'm the only one in the county that's an MD ortho surgeon that does. So.
Right. So give us a website and the phone number one more time, Doc. And Ellen, we'll have to make sure we put it on our website. And even Paul could tell the people in his church, even though they wear shoes.
Yes. So you can find us at www.brevardorthospecialists.com. We also have Facebook and Instagram at Brevard Orthopedic. You can find us there. Our number is 321-345-7579. Come
and maybe
see us
when we get back, because I'd like to, like Dr. Wade, to talk about the little Facebook group that she created and that has some traction that she can get to. But we're going to listen to
that.
Wait,
I have to
right
ask a quick question
message.
From a family member. Little baby James, his mother refuses to put shoes on him because her pediatrician told her the foot is still growing. Don't put shoes on him. And she won't put shoes on his feet yet. So when is a good time for a little baby to start wearing shoes?
Whenever they need him to walk.
Really, so she's right. Oh my God.
Well, if you x-ray a baby
another
foot,
point for Jasmine.
There's not a lot of bones in a baby foot if you x-ray it. It's
so,
actually a
so
quick,
no shoes then, so she's
it,
right.
Well, they only really need it when it's
just start walking.
Yeah,
that's what the pediatrician said too.
Well, they're not born with kneecaps either, and those develop when they start walking.
Oh, how cute.
That's why they're little flexible dolls.
So folks, stay tuned, because we're going to hear a little bit more from Dr. Wade right after these messages.
Portions of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County and Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud 9. That's Cloud number 9. Furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. When you need medical care and need it fast, MedFast Urgent Care is faster and less expensive than emergency rooms. MedFast is open 7 days a week, now with 13 locations, including one in Volusia County. With so many MedFast Urgent Care centers, there is a MedFast near you. MedFast offers top quality care that is close by, and the number is easy to remember. That is 321-MEDFAST. You just call 321-MEDFAST. No one wants to wait in an emergency room for hours and get even sicker when you get the high bill. What you want is medical care fast. That's why you call MEDFAST, where most patients are seen and treated in less than an hour. So when you need medical care fast, call 321-MEDFAST. MedFast. Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Champion Home Healthcare, keeping your loved one happy, healthy, and at home. Available at 321-306-2551. Once again, 321-306-2551. Champion Home Healthcare is ACHC accredited and licensed, Medicare certified, and a TRICARE provider. Champion Home Healthcare, 306-2551.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With three locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County. Contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345. Located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne, that's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff, that's JOTKOFF.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in our sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are on FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and AM 1510, as well as all over this magnificent planet. Ellen, tell our listeners how to tune in online for our show.
Yes, online you can tune in hitting that on-demand button on AM 1510 WWBC. CetaMediaInc.com. Actually, it's 1510WWBC.com. And then also all of our archive shows are on CetaMediaInc.com, so you can catch all of the shows even after the show. But Dr. Wade started a great, I didn't want to end the segment from the last time. Dr. Wade had started a great little Facebook page for patients and for people that are, you know, wanted to comment about what they were going through or what they're experiencing.
Yes.
And I thought that was a great opportunity to reach out to the world of,
the
of Facebook, the community,
yes,
to make sure that they had a place to go to.
So it's called Orthopedic Clubhouse, and it's a place where anybody can come to share their stories of how they healed and what got them better in their process and going through their injuries, or just any tips they can share with other folks on how they got through either post-op or through an injury. It's a positive place. It's not meant for negativity, so it's a positive place to share your story and how you never know when someone else can hear your story and get better by listening to the tips and tricks that you used to get past
to
an injury and heal.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's not for the Google Docs.
It's to help others. It's a place. It's a common place to go to see how others got past certain diagnoses or certain surgeries, and to because there's a lot of different groups with bunions and things like that. So this was more of a let's see how you got past this, or share your story of positive healing, so we can help others to heal.
Yeah, and not like me when I went to Trinidad and I was dancing in a very uneven surface and fell in my high heels and broke up my ankle and came back to the States and worked on my foot for 2 months before going to see my, before you moved into town. And Dr. Dunn wasn't happy with me, but I had to wear my boot for 6 weeks. And I will recommend that anybody who falls or hurt their feet, go and see Dr. Dunn, go and see
Dr. Wade,
because Dr. Wade is, and she's open late hours as well, which is great for the people here in Brevard.
Yes.
Yes.
Fantastic. So don't delay in getting that appointment.
Yes.
Thank you so
thank
much
you
for joining
so much.
Us,
Thank you so much. You guys
Dr.
have
Wade.
Been great. I've appreciated it.
Thank you. And we're going to go right to the phones. I think Quenisha is on. Yes. Quenisha Smith, are you calling in from Fort Lauderdale, Florida?
Yes. Hello. I'm here. Thanks so much for having me.
And if you have any friends in Brevard, let them know about our wonderful orthopedic specialist, Dr. Allison Wade. She is specializes in foot and ankle surgery and anything to go that goes along with your feet, and she also helps with other areas of the body if necessary.
Of course, we'll do.
Sounds all right, great. Girl. Well, tell our listeners a little bit about you and your nonprofit Peace Builders. I read about it, and whoever did your website did a really good job. It's amazing.
Thank you. Big shout out to Kojo. That's our communications guy. So, hi, everybody. My name is Quenisha, and I'm the program director for Peace Builders Camp. We are a nonprofit organization that runs a summer camp in the rural South Georgia. Something that makes our camp so unique and special, although we're, you know, changing it up a little bit due to COVID and it wouldn't be an overnight camp, but one of our bases of camp is teaching youth ages 11 to 16 the basics of human rights as a foundation for justice and peace. So we have these campers come in for a week throughout the month of June, like through June and July, and they come and learn about like the right to housing, the right to clothing, and how these different issues show up locally in their communities, but also make the connection globally and show ways that even 11 and 12 and 13-year-olds today can be making changes for the future.
That's awesome. What gave you guys the idea to open this camp? Because there's already so many. When you Google peace on Facebook, if you're trying to join a group, there's so many peace organizations and outlets. And I'm like, but yours really is unique. It stands out because of the camp. I've never seen one where the children could attend a camp and learn about it from people.
Yeah, so I have to give a big shout out to our co-founder and curriculum director, Miriam McGinnis, who is an Atlanta-based school teacher who primarily teaches homeschooling in her community. So she actually co-founded this with one of our now board of directors, Jonah, and just really, you know, teaching youth around different ways that they could, you know, invest into not only their lives, but the lives of the folks in their communities, and seeing the Universal Declaration of Human Rights as not only a historical document, but a learning tool that we can be using on a day-to-day basis to expand our perspectives, ensure that we're being, like, diversity and inclusion is including the things that we do, but also to show, you know, youth that starting with just the foundations of basic human rights, how we could be making connections that we didn't even see before.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the best approaches for making peace, no matter where you live on this planet, is for human beings to actually change their behaviors towards each other. I think if we start in a place in our heart, around our kitchen tables, with our friends, with our neighbors, with our coworkers, get to know other people, get to know other people's cultures, get to know other people's religion. And I think that in itself is a foundation for peace building, not just here in the United States, but all over the world. And I like what you guys are doing because you do have that, you have that core value with peace builders.
Yeah, I think, so I actually was a camp counselor a handful of years ago during my undergrad, and that's how I found out about this organization, and then they reached out to me to invite me to take on this program director position. But one thing, even as I was a counselor, that I thought was so amazing about this camp is that the youth in itself who come to this camp, and we ensure that doesn't matter what level of income your family have or what neighborhood you come from, that you have access to our summer camp. And so just the campers that we have in the summer are just so diverse. They come from different communities, different backgrounds, different religions, even sometimes different countries. And it's so amazing to see them not just connect over a game of soccer that night or around a campfire, but for them to learn about their different traditions. One thing that we did when we had, you know, camp pre-COVID is had like an international dinner together where each student will pick either a country or a different country to commune and have dinner over to learn about their culture and different traditions that they have. And of course, you make time and space for students to express themselves in different ways. So it's that, you know, sometimes they have to step out to do their evening prayer, right, at a certain point or corner in the room. So I think that allowing the kids to connect in that way, outside of the activities that we do around the Declaration of Human Rights, is something that I think sticks with them as they continue to move on even after camp.
Right.
Ganesha, that's an amazing work that you're doing there, and I hope that other people will hear you today and think about more models like this for the future. What changes has your organization had to make due to COVID?
Well, last year we actually had our first Peace Builders on the Web edition. So normally we do three weeks of camp with different age ranges, again, from 11 to 16. But this past summer, we were only able to host one session with our older youth due to them being a part of our Peace Jam team. So we had to go completely virtual. And so that in-person, you know, overnight at a camp, around the bonfire, we had to get really creative. So we had a virtual bonfire. We sent them peace kits, you know, different ways so they can still engage and have fun and still be a part of camp. So we had to go virtual. And this year, instead of doing overnight camp, we'll be doing day and evening camps in three different locations throughout Georgia.
What is the camp called? Because I couldn't say the name. I'm not gonna break it up. I'm gonna have you tell us the name of the camp.
Yeah, so normally it's Peace Builders Camp, and the location that we normally were doing pre-COVID was at Koinonia Farm.
Yeah, repeat that word again. What farm is that?
Koinonia Farm. Yeah.
Koinonia. Yeah, I was like, I'm not going to say that on air. So, and that's in Georgia?
No, it's definitely took me a few times.
And that's in Georgia, right?
Yes, it's in America's Georgia. And that's where we normally host our overnight camp. Again, since last year and this year, we had to make some adjustments due to COVID, and we won't be doing overnight camp. We'll still be in America's this year because, you know, that is a community that we want to continue to have a relationship with, and also with the farm and exploring different ways that we can continue our partnership. But we'll be hosting the sites this summer at different locations.
So if somebody wanted to partner with you all and sponsor a child or maybe give a little donation and something, where do they go? Your website, or do they call you? Because it seems as though you guys are funded by private donors, correct?
Yeah, so they can go to peacebuilderscamp.org. A lot of our donors reach out to us, especially for this summer, and we're, you know, want to help sponsor a kid, and that's always a way. If you don't want to just donate, but ensure that a kid have a spot to come to camp no matter what, and getting rid of all barriers, and that's something that we also try to do with our sliding scale tuition. But yeah, they can go directly to peacebuilderscamp.org and just go to the tab to donate, and they can do it either PayPal or via a check.
Yeah. So outside of the camp, what other programs are you guys currently working on or doing? Because you don't do this full-time, right? You also have another job in addition to this, correct?
Yeah, this is, as of now, it's part-time. We now have a goal this past year, and that's something that we've been working on, to have a Peace Builders Camp be a year-round organization. And so we have launched new exciting programs due to this new long-term vision. And so this past winter, we actually had our first winter program that included about 15 youth from different places in the U.S., and it was a six-week program. And so our winter program, we still explored the University Declaration of Human Rights, kind of like an after-school version. And we're looking to next year to also hopefully host a alternative spring break, be an alternative spring break site. So universities could have their students come to places like Koinonia, and we do our Universal Declaration of Human Rights curriculum with them as well, too. We want to go past youth because we know that, you know, this foundation is something that we all should be building, even if you're older than 16. And so now we have a new goal to try to craft new projects that also include young adults and even folks that are in the workplaces, such as social work and psychology and things like that.
So, Ellen, I want you to say Camp Koinonia.
Camp Koinonia. Hey, I know exactly where it is.
You do. You do in Georgia?
Yeah,
all those. What's that?
No, yeah, I was saying it's amazing. It has a lot of rich civil rights history there.
Yeah.
Actually, at the farm, it was like one of the first places in the world, in rural South Georgia, that, you know, when you have during like segregation and civil rights era, was having actually black.
Remember,
and white
I worked in
together.
Atlanta for almost 10 years. That I commuted from here by plane to Atlanta every day,
wow.
like 6 days a week.
Yeah.
So when I was up there, I mean, I took as much time as I possibly could to go all of there. There's a lot of history, a lot of civil rights history in
Atlanta. I just love what they're doing. I could just
And in
see.
Georgia, it's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So, and
yeah.
again, kudos to you for what you're doing, because
yeah.
it's a fantastic opportunity for
thank
people
you,
to learn.
You.
Yeah.
Do you have a referral process, or how do you pick the children? Do they enroll, or how does that process work?
So we work with a lot of folks locally, especially this time, due to our day and evening camps. We're working with the Jenny Stepanek Foundation in America, Georgia, and also the Perch in Comer, where they're on the ground recruiting, connecting with teachers, connecting with folks in the community to get kids registered. And normally that's our process as well, too. Like we go and we connect with school groups, after school programs that are kind of similar to ours, you know, expanding perspective, doing some really intentional engaging and educating with the youth. So we always try to hit those aspects first, and also again looking to ensure that camp is diverse. So we try to reach out to folks who are like working with youth that maybe came through asylum or migrated here from another country, that are working with folks in low-income communities, working with folks that may have any type of disability. So we try to first prioritize those different type of organizations so we can ensure the campus experience are very bad and on a large spectrum.
You sound so exciting. You sound like this job is exciting and that you enjoy what you do. What makes the job itself exciting and that makes you all want to wake up every day and say, where is the next student coming from? Where is the next when is the next session starting? What are we going to be teaching the kids? It sounds like you are having a lot of fun.
I am, honestly. So I got my my start in community organizing when I was in college. And I did like an alternative spring breaks program. We went to New Orleans, learned about communities. And, you know, I kind of got my start in organizing through that way. And then, you know, exploring the charity versus social justice conversation. And so when I'm in these spaces with these youths that are like 11, 12 years old, that way younger than I was when I was a freshman in college, talking about all these big issues and topics that when I was that age, I didn't know nothing about. So when I'm in these classes, and it was like, yeah, they're seeing this on the news, or they're having these conversations, or they're like, oh, I heard about this organization, or this is what I've done regarding this issue, I'm always like, mind blown. I'm just like, wow, what was I doing?
Yeah. well, you know what it is. You know, President Obama. Hey, Kenesha. You know, President Obama got his start as a community organizer as well.
Yep.
And I think what you're also doing is you're encouraging these kids to be good citizens later on when they grow up and become something in life. And yes, get involved in social justice and, you know, working and voting and just being part of the American fabric that makes all of us one great big nation. So you're actually helping to mold and shape all these beautiful minds. And I'm doing what Dr. Wade did with her hand. This is my hand.
But she's waking up these
children. Because what you're doing is you are helping the future of America, because how many times we hear people say that they have the knowledge and the power and the wisdom and the life experience to change something, and they don't do anything. They just sit there with all that knowledge. But you gained all of this from community organizing and getting involved with social, you know, affairs, and you're doing it.
Yeah, no, it's pretty amazing. And it's also a great space. Like this past summer, we had one student to say, like, wow, I'm so grateful to be in this place. It was like, I'm sorry if I'm asking too many questions or I'm like talking too much, but I never felt so comfortable. I never felt so understood and connected with people around me. Because she's like, you know, I try to talk to these about these issues and these things to other people. And sometimes, like, that excitement or like that want of deep learning isn't there. And so also, I think, provides a space for youth to know, like, I can be young and understand what's going on, and also find my place in seeing the different ways that I can help, right, even at 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And so I think just allowing for youth to feel so comfortable and feel like they found their people and that, you know, I can change the world, it's also an amazing feeling. And we always try to bring in youth that are even now and today that are doing the work. Like we brought in a youth that is connecting, like letting children know, like, okay, where your produce and food is coming from, about deforestation. And she was like 14 years old, but she's like telling, you know, other youth her same age what's going on and how she learned about it. And they always reflect like, wow, like I can do that too.
Right.
You know? I don't have to be in college. I don't have to have a degree. I don't have to have bread and did all these things. But just through my lived experience, hearing people's stories and having just the want to learn is the place to start. And then from there, you know, they are our future. And so we should be doing our all to intentionally engage and pour into them, because they're ready for these conversations. They're ready to learn and to know and to do what they can to make shifts in their communities.
Well, you know, even, knowledge is power, right? Well, knowledge is power. But I'm sure you have children as well in the camps who are very creative. What do you do like in the evening? I just have this vision of you all sitting around a campfire, and Ellen, of course, is a musician, but playing music, dancing. That would be my kind of
camp
thing.
Is amazing.
Like that's what I would sign up for, is to bring some calypsos and reggae and Bollywood music and some curry chicken and a big pot and just sit there and talk to the kids, you know?
Yes. So that's the thing, because we still want to keep the spirit of camp, even though we're talking about like real issues and we have people come in to tell their stories about how they face these real issues. It's still a summer camp. And so we do that, right? We have a talent show, and
these students
are creative. Like the things that I learned, I'm like, you can do what? You can sing, you can edit, you can paint. Like this past year, they created these whole projects visually. They painted, they put it together with music, all these things, and they always so creative and have skills. So we have like a talent show, you all doing an overnight camp, folks could be on the porch playing guitars and singing, making beads, you know, creating jewelry. So all that creative spirit is still also present in camp, painting self-portraits of themselves, you know, the whole nine. And we try to ensure that we always bring in like guest speakers and folks that can help them dig into their creative processes in different ways.
The helicopter moms? Do you have any helicopter moms and dads that say, I want to come to the camp too to watch my kid? Because, you know, you hear so many stories about camps, and I watch Lifetime movies, and I swear I shouldn't, but I do. And I'm always, like, my granddaughter Maddie is 12, and this sounds like something perfect for her, but I know my daughter Kimmy would say, can I volunteer too? So do you ever have parents that says, I want to come along?
No, you know, we try to ensure that, you know, for them to really experience, they're going to have to do this by themselves.
Absolutely.
So we have them, you know, they do the drop-off, you know. We allow them to be a part of a tour to, you know, see the site that we're at and just ensure them that I'm going to call away if you need anything and if you need ways to check
in. But how long is the camp?
Staff,
how long usually is camp?
So this year it will just be 5 days, so Monday through Friday, since it's going to be a day and evening camp. But traditionally, the camp is a week, so you drop them off on Sunday, and then you pick them back up on a Saturday.
Well, I may be contacting you for about that if I could talk to Kimmy. But what about parents? Is there camp for us?
No.
I mean, can you do something for adults? I mean, seriously, I would like to come away for 5 days with my friends and bring a little booze and relax. I mean, I'm not a drinker. I just drink Moscato. That's it. One glass. But I'd like to have a camp. What don't you think?
I think it would be great, but I am a camp mom. So Serious Fun, Paul Newman Camp, and it was the best experience of my son's life. He came home a new person.
Yeah.
So you're saying that there's something in the works for older people like us?
There is something in the works. We've been brainstorming and trying to see how we can craft a weekend for adults.
A weekend? We're in. You have four people right here. Dr. Wade, Samantha, Ellen, and myself. I mean, just the thought of it, just being there with like-minded people and talking about things that affect all of us. You know, it's just great.
But just keep in mind that one of those kids could end up growing up and changing the world.
That's
and they'll
right.
look back and they'll say it was all because of that camp. It was all because of the education I got. It was all because I had a mentor that cared about
myself.
It'll be because of Viewpoint with Sita and Friends and Kanisha Smith. So Kanisha, we have 1 minute left, girl. So can you just give us the website really quick? And again, if somebody wanted to donate or go to camp or something like that, just give us the website and then Ellen will take it away. Thank you so much for calling in.
No, thank you all so much for having me. I'm excited about this adult camp already. You all can go to Peace Builders. You can go to peacebuilderscamp.org. And there you can be able to donate, learn more about camp. And also look into our evening and day camps that we're having this summer if you are locally in Georgia. If not, stay tuned. You can also sign up for our emailing list to see what Camp 2022 will look like. Hopefully it's open and overnight and back at Cornelia Farm. Again, it was a pleasure.
Kanisha, you know what? You have a doctor here, orthopedic surgeon. You have a nurse. You have a girl who speaks Spanish, and you have a musician all ready to come.
An activist, with that girl who speaks Spanish.
All right, Ellen, so take it away. What a great show.
It was a great show. And Dr. Wade, thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. Make sure you check in with Brevard, our orthopedic specialist, and get yourself checked out. And we will be right back with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends next Monday at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Please join us.
The preceding program may not necessarily reflect the views of the staff or management of WWBC. You're listening to WWBC, COCO, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, COCO, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.